because I realized once I brought my full identity to the table, it actually served as such a benefit, right? To show people that, oh, I know how to do this because I have experience in this, and the context that I learned from this will actually lead to this. So yeah, it's amazing. And now I want to help other people do that, because we are so multifaceted. We're humans. We, at the bare minimum, we love 10 things. Right. So it's like, why are we trying to just act like we only love this one thing and only talk about this one thing?
Welcome to No Surprises, a look inside the ambitious, joyful, and occasionally terrifying journey of creators. And oh my goodness, it's episode 10 of season 3. And this is the ultimate, the final of our third season. And also the last one we'll be putting out this year.
Yeah, I can't believe that this has been like a whole year of doing the podcast. Is that right?
Yeah, we've had 3 seasons in 1 year.
So I know. Here we are. And that's
the seasons are short, but wow. You know, we like to change up the theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a few.
Keeps it moving.
We move fast.
I really have enjoyed this, and I'm so excited about our guest today, because we met at Squarespace Circle Day.
Yes.
And it was such a delight, because, you know, we go into that conference and we're seeing a lot of people that we know and have worked with for years, but this year got to meet lots of new folks. And so I'm very, very excited to introduce everyone to Ashaya Amabe. Ashaya is a seasoned creative brand and brand strategist. With her extensive experience in both fields, she founded Commercial Media Guide to provide creatives with comprehensive personal branding solutions. Her services encompass personal brand consultations, media design services, and creative direction for personal brand and portfolio shoots. Ashaya's expertise allows her to guide talent on leveraging their personal brand to create relatable, authentic connections with their audience. Her mission is to empower talent, entrepreneurs, and creatives to go beyond the surface and convey their personal stories and experiences to captivate clients and consumers alike. Ashaya, welcome to No Surprises.
So happy to be here.
Yes. This energy, I love it.
Yeah, listen, let's start the morning off right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Can I tell the story of the first time that you came onto our radar?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we did this workshop day with Squarespace the day before the Circle Conference. And one of the things that we were doing during Circle Day was learning a bit about the new courses tool. And each we broke up into groups with people we didn't know, and we had to record a course and build a course using the courses tool in like an hour and then share it with people, which is wild. And as I'm telling this story, I can't remember if I'm not allowed to talk about this or not, but I'm going to. So
I'm
sorry.
It's okay.
Forgive me.
About it.
Okay, yeah. Good. So Ashaya and her group had this amazing course that they showed, and it really like wowed me because the topic was so bold. Ashaya, will you tell us about this? Because I feel like you can probably explain it better than I can, but it was one of those things that just made everyone in the room go like, I want more.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Honestly, this is so funny because me and my team members, we just happened to sit next to each other randomly, and we end up being a group of overachievers. And it was so funny. Like, we were taking this project so seriously. Like, and it was so good because we all mutually were like, we're 100% in, right? And everybody,
opt in, let's go.
Yeah, like, let's do this. So, it was really cool though, like badass women, shout out to everybody, Ade, Emma, and Nancy. It was great because immediately everybody wanted to tap into everybody's strengths. So there was somebody that was like, yeah, I can whip up, you know, copy really fast. I'm a day is good at marketing. So she was like, I can come up with like some copy to talk about the marketing. Nancy and Emma were really great at design. And they were like, you know, didn't you say you do something in personal brand? They was like, we feel like you can talk really well. Like you can be the one on camera. And I was like, okay, great. And being that it was a quick turnaround, I was like, instead of us coming up with something silly that we would have to like really come up with a script, I was like, let me just talk about what I already talk about, which is personal branding. And to not make it so on the nose, we didn't call it personal branding, but it was instead titled like how to develop confidence as an entrepreneur. So yeah, that was fun. And then we had fun with it, which was also cool because I was on camera and I'm also used to these random quick self tapes with modeling. So I was able to just like improv some stuff like for our little, you know, course previews. And it was fun. It was just fun to like, I feel like really use all of my skills, right? In that one setting.
It was people.
I feel like our listeners need to understand that this was, they gave us originally 60 minutes to do this.
Yeah, 60 minutes,
1 hour. We were all like thinking, I don't know about you. I thought this was going to be an afternoon project. I was gorgeous. We're going to go outside. We're going to film alfresco, whatever. And they're like, so we'll meet back here in 1 hour and present our websites. And I went on the collective room was like, so the fact that you accomplished this, I think they ended up giving us 90 minutes. They're like, ooh, not everyone's done. It's like engineers watching us try to like build a course. For
yes. And the Wi-Fi was, and the Wi-Fi was wonky. So
they're like, we didn't anticipate it. And
yes.
But I loved the topic. And I think it's something that is really hard to come by.
Yeah.
Of building confidence as a creative. And so I felt like very immediately drawn to want to talk to you more about this.
Yeah.
And then of course we got a chance to like talk and hear a little bit more of your story.
Yeah.
And the big question that I asked you over drinks, and we're going to circle around to this after we hear a little bit more about your who you are, what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
But my big question was, does developing a personal brand and developing your own competence as a creative help you show up better as a member of a community? And we ended up having a really interesting conversation about it. And then I was like, okay, you have to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
We have to talk about this because I think we always think about community in the aggregate, but community is made up of people. And how people show up for each other, I think, can be really dependent on like how secure they feel for themselves. So that is like the crux of what I eventually want to talk about in this.
We really took it. We took it. We reverse engineered it. We're ending on like the micro instead of the macro.
Yeah.
And I like
Listen,
it.
You gotta
Community
see it
starts
from
with
all
the
sides.
Individual.
Community starts with individuals. Great. But let's start with you as an individual. You do a lot of really interesting things. You have a really cool journey. Who are you? What do you do? Tell us about you.
I like to now refer to myself as a seasoned creative with interest and experience in multiple different fields. What I'm most known for right now, it depends on who I'm speaking to, but I would say my collective audience probably knows me more from my modeling background. Just a quick thing on that. Originally, I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. So I always grew up in the city. I always grew up around all these cool, interesting things. And I want to emphasize that because it was always around me. I never even thought that it was kind of out of reach. I figured like, I've always been tall. And my mom would ask me like, oh, do you want to pursue modeling? And I was like, eh. Right. Like it wasn't like this whole thing of like, this is going to change my life. And right. So I always kind of felt like, oh, this is, you know, it's cool, but it's not what I want to do right now. I had a great childhood. I ran track. I did all these things. I'm an only child. So I loved just trying things, experimenting, all that stuff. So I was really into journalism when I was maybe about like seventh grade. I was part of like a children's newspaper. I developed that into high school. I know, so cute. Me and my mom talk about it now, like, oh, how cute that I got you involved in that.
If you have any photos or PDFs,
right?
We would love to share one.
Yes, please. I need to find those. It was called Children's Press Line. Oh, adorable. But yeah, so I continued that into high school. I was part of my high school newspaper. So I'm building the theme to show, like, I found my thing. Journalism is my thing. I go to Penn State for journalism, and I had a minor in English. Things are great. By the time I graduate, I'm a little disillusioned with the media as far as, like, oh, you have to talk about these specific things. It's a top-down thing, very Succession-like. And I was like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, this is also like, I'm 21.
You're like, wait, I don't get to write about whatever I want to write about. I have to write about orange nail polish. I'm not saying that's what you did, but that's like truly what it's like. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, or this is what it is.
So, or something so like not really talking about anything just to distract from something else. You know, I was just like, yeah, I was, you know, 10 ways to tie your hair, something like that. Right. And I was like, I was like, I didn't go to school for this. Like, come on. So by the time I graduate, I kind of transition into marketing because I'm like, what is a field that I can use my journalism background and still, you know, not make it a complete waste. So my first job out of college was I was a 40 hour per week social media intern. How convenient.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
40 hours full a week,
time
huh?
And full time unpaid.
Yeah. No, paid, but of course because
but
I was
like 5 cents.
I didn't get any like benefits.
Benefits?
Yeah. So, and it was a year. This was a year. This was a, it was a job, right? Like, I think a couple months.
It was a job. It was a real job. A social media. That's a job. Yeah. That's just, I will always say to people that, like, and this is back in, you know, we're talking about this time period that we're in right now, which is like a while, like, you know, not a while ago, but that's when everyone thought it was just like almost like a side hobby that you could just pick right up. And it's like it's a full ass job. It's a full time job. It's 40
this is
hours
like,
a week.
Right. You know, and think this was maybe 2013, 2014. So this was like social media is, you know, at the time I was managing for The Body Shop, their social media. So US, Canada, and Mexico. In Mexico. I worked with a translator. It was
I was gonna say your time, yeah.
Wow. So, well, congratulations on your, you know, VP of social media job. Yeah. Like, that must have been a great experience for you.
Basically, but I learned so much from that job. And I will say I worked with a coordinator, or maybe she was a manager at the time, that she knew that I was doing a job of like a full, like, pay, you know, full real job. And she was so supportive. She was always like, helping me to get into different rooms or advocating for me because of the work that I've done. So shout out to Cassie.
Cassie.
But yeah, from
Love
yeah.
Cassie.
So from that opportunity, I was like, okay, like I feel like I had that experience of like, and with that, I was doing a lot of design things, a lot of inception, a lot of you know, that's when the flat lay was really popular. I would grab things from like the 99 cent store, like sparkles to go with the lotions and all that stuff. But I really enjoyed it. That was like my first introduction to like hands-on creativity and having it translate digitally online. Mm. It was so cool. So my next opportunity was, I was still trying to go in that design kind of social media-esque way. However, I had like a little bit of a time crunch because my opportunity was only for a year and I didn't want to wait right until the end of it because The Body Shop was kind of like also in some hard times and I knew the intern was going to be first to get cut, right? So I was trying to find, I
but
mentioned-
Who's doing the 40-hour job then?
Right, exactly. No, probably. I don't know. Maybe it was just going to get phased out.
Oh, boy. I don't want to know. Anyway.
Oh, that's what it was. They were getting bought maybe by L'Oreal or something like that. So I think that was going to be into their thing. But yeah, so limited time. I'm looking for another job. I was going to what is this place called? General Assembly. It's like a tech school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was going there. I had took a digital marketing course and I had met some people in my class. I told them my situation and she was like, oh, I think I know somebody who I can introduce you to at Hearst Magazines. And, you know, that tapped back into my journalism background. So I was like, okay, sure. So an opportunity comes by. It wasn't as digital and media forward as I would have liked, but it was the opportunity to be an executive assistant for the EVP for Hearst Integrated Media. And essentially what that means is like any of the ads that ran in more than one magazine, it went through essentially like the media department, right? So if they wanted to run an ad in Marie Claire, in Elle, in Cosmo, it went through this department. And they kind of created, there was a whole design team that created these elements. So as the executive assistant, so I took the job. I will tell you that my boss at the time told me, are you sure this is for you? You're so creative, you're young. I don't know if this is going to be like fun for you, but I was just trying to get out that last thing, dollar amount and was like, it'll be fine. It'll be
I'm
fine.
I'm in. I think I can do it. I think I can make it work.
I was like, don't worry about it, but thank you. Thanks for thinking of me. And he was right. The job was so boring. It was so boring. Oh my gosh. Bless his heart. He warned me.
He was like, I told you so. How long did you stay there?
Probably literally like a year at the dot. Like I at least wanted to do that. Yeah. But what I want to say is while I was in that building, I was networking my ass off because I was so bored. I talked to everybody on the floor who was like designing the ads. I was like, okay, what does that look like? What are you using? What tool are you using? How do you like, I was talking to everybody from different magazines, different departments, asking them about what they did. How did they get into this? Yeah. Why did they like that? Like my job there was just, especially because my boss was so senior, I basically had the clearance to anybody that I wanted and I was kind of using it.
Yeah. You're like, this is my own masterclass. Hey, I'm going to go to this department. I'm going to shadow this department this week.
Or I was like sending emails like executive assistant of EVP would like to have a meeting with you.
That's amazing.
I love it.
People would meet me like, so is this just like casual? And I'm like, yeah, it's just,
yeah.
That is so funny.
Talk about capitalizing on it. That's hell yeah.
And I used this to even have a meeting with Gail King because he worked at Oprah Magazine.
If you're not doing this, you are losing. If you're not acting like a Shia, you know, they say like act as if it's like, no, yeah. Requesting a meeting with Gail.
Yeah. And I was so persistent about it. I was talking to her assistant and we met and I was so embarrassed because I didn't know. Now that we had the interview, I was just like, I don't even know what to say. I kind of, you know, like what do you talk to Gail King about? But at the time I was, you know, had this whole thing about me wanting to leave my job and maybe I want to leave. That was the whole point. I was bored to death. I was like, what would I do?
Yeah.
I can do anything. This modeling thing that people have been asking me about for years comes back to my mind. And it was more like, what the hell? Like I've done this thing. I know I can get back to this. Why not? Like, this could be fun.
Yeah.
And I kind of threw that question into Gail King. And she said to me, I think you know what you want to do. It sounds like you know. And then the rest of the lunch was just like, okay, so now that that's out the way, like, let's talk. So that was cool.
Wow. That's awesome. I love that you were bold and brave enough to look at the resources available to you and then to use them. I think it's very easy to be timid in those moments and not want to like step on any toes or put anyone, you know, and like that's a hard muscle to build up to just see an opportunity and take it.
Absolutely. I will say we got to give that credit to the boredom because when I tell you, I was so bored. I was just like, what do I have to lose? I'm literally
you're like,
staring at my desk.
Couldn't be lower.
Yeah. No. And I was like, the alternative is I fall asleep. I have to talk to somebody. I have to do something.
Oh my God. This is amazing. This is amazing. Okay. So modeling comes along.
Yes. Modeling comes along. I quit my job. I put in my notice. I'm saying, as you can already hear, I don't know what I'm doing, but so bold. I tell my boss, yeah, I'm going to quit. I'm going to pursue this. I will say I have been putting some feelers out. Sorry, helicopter. I have been putting some feelers out to see if I could do it. I booked maybe a job or two, and I was starting to see, like, I couldn't do it full time. I did try to see if I could be at work and kind of finesse it, and that didn't work. And I was like, all right, like, let me just quit. So I quit my job. My first agent actually was somebody from Hearst Magazine who introduced me. Well, let me go back. When I was reaching out to everybody, I reached out to the booking director of multiple magazines. The booking director of Oprah Magazine answered me. I met up with her. I told her what I was trying to do. She introduced me to an agent. He didn't respond right away, but once I got that email, I just kept emailing him. And in August, he emailed me back and said he would like to sign me. And that was how I got my first agent the year that I quit.
Wow.
That was 2015. So August 2015. And that's how things started. Fast forward many years, modeling is difficult. And it really was my first introduction into entrepreneurship that I didn't even realize was entrepreneurship. I didn't even see myself as an entrepreneur until really probably the pandemic. So I was in entrepreneurship, but not knowing that I was. And that's a whole thing. But I say that to say, in pursuing modeling, it was how I got into design and all these other things, because I was like, I don't want to just be so compartmentalized. Yeah. And really at the time, I'm saying hindsight is 2020. That's what I'm saying now. But at the time, I just was trying to like survive using the skills that I had. And now I use them all to my benefit. But before, they were all kind of secretive. You know, the modeling people only knew that I did modeling. And then when I was on set doing some production stuff, they didn't know about the model. Like everything was just so like, nobody knows about each other.
Why am
I doing this? Like, this is dumb. So that really inspired the whole personal brand. Cause I realized once I brought my full identity to the table, it actually served as such a benefit, right? To show people that, oh, I know how to do this because I have experience in this, and the context that I learned from this will actually lead to this. It's amazing. And now I want to help other people do that, because we are so multifaceted. We're humans. We, at the bare minimum, we love 10 things, right? So it's like, why are we trying to just act like we only love this one thing and only talk about this one thing? That was born of my personal experiences.
Well, it's hard to mix those interests, right? Like, even when you think about friend groups, you know, like you have different communities that have different purpose, and it can be hard to pull that off. What was it like when you got to the point where you were ready to be like very like open about your abilities and skills in those different spaces? Were there opportunities that came up from those, like, you know, kind of cross community opportunities?
Yeah, to be honest, that is something that is very new. I would say I just started introducing myself as this full entity of who I am probably like this year. And like most things with me, if you notice this a theme, my back was against the wall. I felt like, okay, you have to do this. I left my agency last year. And it was now, right? I was in full entrepreneurship. It's me representing me. I am in control of getting every opportunity, modeling or not. And I was like, I can't afford to be compartmentalized. I need everybody to know what I can do. So I think really just showing up as a human, saying, hi, this is what was going on in my life. I actually I know you know me for this, but I'm actually really good at this, and I can do this, and I can do this. If any of those things speak to you, reach out to me. Like, it started like that. It just started like just very matter-of-factly. And then I started to get more comfortable talking about, okay, let me show you what I've done with this. Let me show you what I've done with this. And yeah, now I'm like, oh yeah, I could talk about anything interchangeably because
I love that.
Yeah, it takes some practice, but yeah, that's what got me there.
Okay, so I'm seeing some like indicators of this already in our conversation, but I'm curious, kind of coming back to our central idea of how does having a personal brand, how does being confident as a creative help you be a better part of your communities? I'm already hearing that it makes you confident enough to email Gail King.
Yes. Yes.
To email anyone and to build a connection with them.
Yeah.
But when you're thinking about your clients and thinking about how they're, you know, setting out to build their own communities with their personal brand, I just love to hear your thoughts on that. Like, how do we, you know, how does building our understanding of ourselves as individuals make us better equipped to be a part of communities that, you know, we can serve and that we can learn from?
Absolutely. I think first and foremost, it creates an opportunity for connection outside mm-hmm. of what people already know. So I like to say, like, think of the example that I like to use is think of like a resume. A resume just says the facts. It's like, I worked at this place. This is how long, this is what I did, right? But when you develop that personal brand or when you create that opportunity to connect, now we can connect on, well, how did you get that job? How did it inspire you? What was your next job because of that last one? How did you love the people that you work with, if you love them at all, right? Yeah. And now those personal connections of me saying, oh my gosh, that inspired me to go into graphic design. And then immediately you can say, what? You're into graphic design? I have been into graphic design and I've been doing this for such and such, right? But now we're really connecting. It's not just mm-hmm. the company that we work for or the experience that we have. We made a real point of connection on something that we both love, we both enjoy. So I feel like when you tap into your personal brand, you are removing back those layers, right? Those kind of, I'm doing this. Like, think of just like really like a photo, right? A photo that people can kind of maybe assume some things about you. But when you develop a personal brand, you are telling your audience, here's what I enjoy. Here's what I love. Here's what inspires me. And they can connect, right? It's mm-hmm. like, because they know you as whatever the thing, whatever this picture is, they know you as that. But now you're bringing some other elements that they might not have known to the table. And now, like I said, there's mutual connection based on something real, not just an idea of who someone is or what the title is or what they do for work or, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I mean, it gives you texture, right? Yes. Like, it gives you something to connect with, hold on to.
I like to say your personal brand is your story with context.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
That's very lovely.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's like a good soundbite for this.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your like dream, you know, community to serve when you think about your ideal clients, when you think about the people you most want to work with, the people that you think you're best, you know, positioned to help? Who are those people? Who are those clients? What do they look like?
This is hard, but I'm going to give the cliche answer and really say like, everybody, because everybody has a personal brand. Like, I feel like no matter who you are, but definitely creatives and entrepreneurs, like that's totally my sweet spot because that's where I am. Totally creatives, because although we have this title as creatives, we are still creative, but still like as a monolith, right? Yeah. I'm the creative photographer. I'm the creative model. I'm the creative director. And it's like, there's so many elements that you can be talking about that make you a more dynamic, whatever thing that you are. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, let's talk about that. I want to see that one of the directors that I followed the other day, he talked about how he his son loved Ritz crackers, and the son was like, well, why can't we just make them? And he shared that. And I love him. I love that story. That was amazing. Yeah. I was like, I love to see that you have these moments with your son. And does that technically make him a better director? Probably not. But it gave me that personal connection, right? It influenced how I see him in my head. I bet you if somebody was like, hey, do you have a director? He's going to be at the top of my mind because he made a personal connection to me, you know, on top of his skill, right? Yeah. So I think there's so much there. I think creatives could really tap in to who they are on a larger level. And then specifically entrepreneurs, especially if they're selling anything, they really want to, you're really selling like your story, right? Of course, whatever product that you're selling, of course, but it's like, I want to know, how did you even get into this? Why are you doing it? Was it difficult? What were the things that you were doing before that? I love to hear that. I love for somebody to tell me like, oh yeah, you know, I have this cake company, but before I used to like work as a marketer. I love that stuff. Cause I'm like, I know the big gap from being a marketer to now being an entrepreneur. So I want to fill me in, tell me the details. So yeah, that's my ideal audience.
How do you coach people through fears of competition? Like you're coming at this from a really competitive environment, right? I mean, one thing that I think about entrepreneurs is they're fairly community-oriented folks, but I imagine modeling has got to be really tough. And then when you get into working with creatives to define their personal brand, there's probably that fear of like other people being better or going out for the same jobs. And I imagine that that is a big part of confidence. So I'm curious how you talk to people about competition in those spaces.
Yeah, I mean, again, another cliche, but there is no competition because no one is you, right? You're selling yourself. You're not, there's competition when you're selling your resume, when it's who went to the better school, who worked for the better client, right? When you're going by those metrics, it's hard to do.
Great perspective shift, but, yeah.
But it's like, you can't compete with me and I can't compete with you. Like there's nothing I can do to have that experience of, it's just, you know, it's literally apples to steak, not even apples to
oranges. Not even apples to oranges.
It's
steak.
So different.
Completely different food groups. Yeah.
It's just, yeah. So
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell people like, yeah, like really focus on yourself and your story. You won't have to worry about anybody else because even people in the fields that I'm, let's just say, if I love makeup tutorials. I love these different people for different reasons. I love the way that she talks while she's doing her makeup. I love the way that she gives it more color and design and blah, blah, right? Even though these people are technically all doing the same thing, it's just different. So yeah.
That's such a good perspective. And I'm sure that's like also a very strong argument for defining your personal brand is the more that you are clearly and very strongly you, the more you are an individual and not a part of, you know, this blanket group of people who build websites, these blanket group of people. So figuring out what it is that you do that makes you special, what it is that makes your perspective unique, makes
Which
that feeling
right
of competition.
There.
Yeah. And then if someone says no, it's like, okay, well, this is like, you know, not a fit for you based on factors. It's not, even if they use someone else, it doesn't matter because it wasn't a fit.
Literally. Yeah.
I love it. Well, yeah. I am so grateful that you are now a part of our community and that we got to meet at Circle Day.
Yes. Thank you.
Mallory and I try to make it to New York a couple of times a year. So the next time we're there, we'll have to try and meet up and maybe you can show us some of your favorite spots.
Yes. You know, I was trying to give you a list before. So totally.
I know.
Ooh, yeah. Let's hook it up. I'm always like on the hunt for like vetted spots of people I know. Those are my favorite recommendations. Doesn't need to be the hot spot. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for your personal, like, what is your bodega and what are you ordering?
Okay.
That's what I want to know.
You got it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It was the best.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much for having me and giving me a platform to share my personal brand.
Of course. I love that. Ashaya, it's been wonderful having you as our final guest in season 3. But you can still subscribe to No Surprises wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Our website is weekofthewebsite.com. And you can also find us on Instagram at weekofthewebsite. And here we are. We will be breaking until the new year for season four. Do I know what season four season is? Yes. Am I going to say that right now? No. But I will say that next year's seasons will have an overarching story arc, and it's going to be very, very exciting. And so we cannot wait to invite you back for more No Surprises. And Kels, I'm even wondering if you know what the season four theme is.
I understand that we're making a strong pivot to a recipe-based mystery podcast where each week we dig deep into some true crime while also making key lime pie.
Got me. Perfect. It's like Only Murders in the Building.
Mallory, anyway, can I ask you one quick question before we wrap up?
Please.
Is that a papaya sculpture over your right shoulder?
A papaya sculpture.
What is the red thing sitting? Yeah, what is that?
Oh, it's my tennis racket. It's my tennis racket.
It did look like a papaya.
I know. I'm sorry. It's sitting here and I'm like, what is that?
Thank you. Well, you know what? We promised no surprises, but I have to say, you snuck one in there at the end.
I snuck one
in. That was a surprise.
Well, so excited for everyone to have a very enjoyable holiday season, whatever holiday you celebrate. And stay tuned on our Instagram, which is probably where we will be announcing and releasing our trailer for season four. And that will be in January, and we can't wait. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for continuing to listen. Please spread the good word. Woo-hoo!